You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
From one great guest to another, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of our award-winning show. I say award-winning. You know, we have won some awards. I shared with you in the first hour that a woman had interviewed for NBC Donald Trump, and we're going to put on our website on Monday the entire unedited, uncut version of this interview. Well, she's a good-looking, you know, young woman, and so, you know, I looked her up to see, you know, what she was all about, and it turned out that she was, for 3 years, Keith Olbermann's live-in girlfriend. So I guess that would make her a lesbian, but nevertheless, Keith Olbermann once said that I was the worst person in the world, and so that's one of the, when we say we're an award-winning show, that's one of the awards that we are most proud of. But nevertheless, from one great guest to another, Mark Weber with us now, following Paul Fromm, two all-stars, if there ever were. He is the director of the Institute for Historical Review. In addition to that, he is an acclaimed lecturer, a historian, current affairs analyst, and author, born and raised in Portland, Oregon. He was educated in both the United States and Europe. Mark holds a master's degree in modern European history from Indiana University. He's a regular guest on our show. Last appeared in May. In May, he was on with us to talk about his recent trips to London, England, Guadalajara, Mexico, and Stockholm, Sweden. Now, that trip in Stockholm is particularly noteworthy because just this week, on August the 19th, we posted a text of his entire speech that he delivered to that group in Stockholm entitled Looking Ahead in an Age of Darkness. Well, when he was on with us last in May, a few months ago, he talked about those trips. Tonight, Mark is with us to share with us his experiences from a week-long visit to Istanbul, Turkey. Mark, the most well-traveled of all of our guests, racking up the frequent flyer miles. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Yes, thank you, James, for having me on again. It's a pleasure. I'm glad to be with you. Yes, I just got back a few days ago from Istanbul, and it was a very interesting trip. I was the guest of a retired professor and former UNESCO official who has an apartment in Istanbul. Although he normally lives in France, he's a professor that I met actually in Tehran a few years ago. And he and some others who I had been in touch with were very, very helpful in being guides and helping me, introducing me to other people there. I met with a number of writers, activists, journalists, and so forth. Very successful trip. I learned a lot. A lengthy interview with me appeared in a Turkish daily newspaper. I was astonished. They put it on the front page and then continued it on in inside pages for two consecutive days of that issue of that newspaper. And there's a lot happening going on in Turkey. It's a country in great turmoil, and a region, of course, that's in great turmoil. And I may be going back, actually, as we discussed with when I was there, for some other talks and lectures in the future. But very fascinating city, of course, a city of very, very great ancient history, going back thousands of years, capital of Eastern Roman Empire, the capital of the Ottoman Empire, and a very important country.
Well, tell us, Mark, what were you doing there? I mean, you know, I am absolutely amazed, and it's incredible the places you've been able to travel to this year and to speak to very influential gatherings. And we mentioned earlier, well, just a moment ago, rather, some of the trips you took earlier this year. So you're in Istanbul, though. What were you doing there exactly?
Well, I was there, actually, at the invitation of several people to talk with groups and to give interviews, which I did, and actually to prepare also for probably another visit later on in which I'll be, doing the work we're trying to do, The IHR is an educational organization, and we try to do this work not only in the United States but in other countries, because the issues that we're facing here are issues, as you well know, that people in Europe and all around the world are also facing. For example, I mean, in the interview, I dealt a great deal with the role of Jewish Zionist power here in the United States, what this means for America, for the Middle East, and for Turkey, because many people have a lot of very odd ideas about just how this power works and how it operates, including many people in Turkey. And we're in the center of it here in the United States, so we have a front row seat, you might say, in this kind of power in a way that people in Turkey do not. And I was able to make a lot of points, I think, that were helped clarify and fill out a lot of misunderstanding about just how this power operates in the United States and the consequences for Turkey and the region and for the world.
Well, tell us a little bit more, if you will, Mark, about this interview that appeared in The New World. That's the translation from Turkish to English. Pretty prominent publication,
word.
If I'm not...
New Word.
New Word, excuse me. I see it right here in my notes, and I had it written down, but the New Word. Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But the new, you know, right. The New Word. Tell us a little more about the things that they quoted you on and some of the topics of interest that they were trying to get you to comment on.
This came up because the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has caused a lot of stir in the last several years. A couple of years ago, a Turkish aid ship went to Gaza to help bring supplies to people in Gaza, Palestine. And the Israeli government attacked the ship, seized everybody there. There was shooting. People were killed. This was a tremendous thing in the Turkish media because the ship was a Turkish ship, and most of the people on the ship were Turks. And it got very little play here in the United States, but in Turkey it was a big thing, and the president of Turkey sharply condemned Israel because this ship was seized on international waters. This is entirely illegal. It was a violent attack against a humanitarian ship. And since then, the Turkish president and much of the Turkish media has been very critical of Israel, increasingly so as time goes on. And Israel, of course, has attacked the president of Turkey as being a bad guy and so forth. And so the issue of what Israel is doing and its role and why it operates is a big thing. Anyway, that was a kind of starting point for this interview and how this all operates, how this power operates. I mean, why is it, people want to know all around the world, that the American government and the American people support a country which operates against the interests of the United States? How can American politicians and American leaders, in their alliance with Israel, carry out policies which are not harmful, which are not helpful to us?
Well, all right. I've got a question for that, and I certainly want to let you, Mark, continue. But we got to take a break, and when we come back, I'll let you do just that. Then I have a question that has been prompted by what you just said. And we'll follow up right after this with the one and only Mark Weber, director of the Institute for Historical Review, IHR.org. Ladies and gentlemen, bookmark it. We'll be right back with the man himself. Good sense, innocence.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Mark Weber with us, the one and only. And again, ladies and gentlemen, when he was with us back in May, very fascinating interview. I enjoyed it a lot. I remember it. That's one of those interviews that I actually remember. And I remember it, well, for two reasons. Number one, because Mark Weber was involved. And number two, I was actually on the road that night. And I was coming home from a family vacation. And I was in a hotel room in Ocala, Florida, which Ocala, interestingly enough, had the largest pro-Confederate flag rally in the country. We had one here in Memphis that drew 500. Yeah, well, that's good. You know, I was proud of that. You know, that's a lot of people. They had one that drew 5,000, okay, in Ocala. And when I was in Ocala that night with my family and connected to the radio station via telephone, and Mark was on to talk about his trips to Guadalajara, to Stockholm, to London. Be sure to check out our website this week and visit the post entitled Looking Ahead in an Age of Darkness, posted on August the 19th. It's the full text of the speech that Mark delivered to the Stockholm gathering. Well, he's on with us tonight to talk about his recent trip to Istanbul. And before the break, we were talking about the interview that he gave to the Turkish newspaper, the daily The Word. And basically, Mark, you were telling me that, or telling us rather, that there are people in Europe that see with astonishment that America could be so beholden to a country that reciprocates so very little. Is that basically right, the gist of what I'm getting?
Well, that's a big part of it. Yeah, I mean, how come it is that when people run for president in the United States, very often they start their campaign by going to Israel? Why is it that especially Republican candidates for president line up to get money from Sheldon Adelson? They seem more worried about that than they are about what the American people have to think and want. And I mean, this is down the line. American politicians, as you know, give more rapturous applause to Netanyahu in the U.S. Congress than Netanyahu gets from his own parliament in Israel. And they give him more applause in the U.S. Congress than they give to Barack Obama. Why is it that the United States is committed to the security of Israel in a way it's not committed to the security of heaven knows how many other countries in the world? I mean, this is all baffling to people around the world, who have a much more sense of who they are and therefore what their interests are and than the United States. I mean, the United States is the one country in the world that is this unbelievable bastion of support for Israel. Why is that? Well, if you listen to American politicians, they make it seem like they just have more insight and they're just more aware than political leaders are in Argentina or Japan or France or any other country. But the real reason is that the organized Jewish community is more powerful here than it is in any other single country, and our politicians are first and foremost concerned about getting reelected than they are about promoting the interests of the American people and what's good for the world. And anyway, all these are pretty, I mean, for example, people do not understand, or many people I talked to didn't understand the role that somebody like Sheldon Adelson plays. He's a multi-billionaire who has his money from gambling casinos, and he has given by far more money to American politicians than any other single donor in recent years. And then on the Democratic side, the leading contributor is Haim Saban, who has been financing Hillary Clinton, giving huge amounts of money to her. But that's not, I mean, the list goes on. There's lots of others as well. But all this needs to be understood because this is a key in understanding what motivates, what moves American policy around in the world with consequences for people everywhere around the world.
Mark, very well said. And, you know, I am blessed and very honored to have a worldwide audience, but I don't have the international footprints that you do. And so you've been able to travel in just this year, in just the places that I know, to Mexico, to Great Britain, to Sweden, now to Turkey. Are you seeing, and I'm sure I've asked you this before, but are you seeing not only a rise in healthy nationalism, but are you seeing the stranglehold that political correctness and Zionist domination, is it becoming more tenuous, in your opinion, compared to what it was, say, 10 years ago when I founded this radio program, or 20 years ago when you were still doing your work and I was, you know, 12?
Well, I would say there's two things going on. First of all, much of the world just does not have political correctness the way the United States or Europe does. This political correctness, this idea we've got to be very sensitive, we have to ignore common sense and ignore reality, this is particularly something true in the United States and Europe, Western Europe especially. But nobody buys this worldview in Asia or in Africa or in the Middle East. People, they're in a sense, they're too smart to believe nonsense like this. On the other hand, having said that, what is happening, obviously, I think, around the world and obviously here in the United States, is a real breakdown of trust in the system. People in the United States and Europe just don't believe our leaders, and that's why there's so much support right now for Donald Trump on the Republican side and by Bernie Sanders, because Americans, like people in Europe, they're sick of politicians who will not level with them, who are so careful about what they say. They don't want to offend anybody, that they won't even speak the truth. They're not even sincere. And polls show in both in Europe and the United States unprecedented levels of distrust of politicians, of the media, and so forth. Now, in Turkey, one of the odd things, interesting things, is that Turkey and Turks are facing an immigration problem very similar to what Europe and the United States are facing. I mean, for example, I mean, that's just one of the many common points of interest and that are going on. Because of the turmoil in neighboring Syria, there's something like 2 million Syrians have now come into Turkey, and that's a big issue. People don't like it, and because they don't want to change the character of their country. And, of course, that's a big issue in the United States and a big issue in Europe. And on that level, in that sense, people have a common interest or common outlook, and because they have similar problems in all these different places. But nobody in Turkey believes in, almost nobody accepts this idea of political correctness or gay rights or something the way that they do in the United States or in Western Europe, for example.
Well, I even saw, I mean, my goodness, the president of Kenya, of all people, you know, one-upped the president of the United States in one of those questions you just brought up. And, I mean, you know, it's just sad, I mean, is what it is. But, well, Mark, I know we'll had you booked for a couple of segments tonight. I want to remind everybody to make themselves familiar with your work, number one, and number two, certainly support your work because you've been doing it for a long time and doing it as well as anybody, IHR.org. But I couldn't help but hear you mention the names of Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. And so I hope you'll forgive me for putting you on the hot seat, and feel free to answer this question or not. But do you have a horse in the race yet?
No, I don't. No, because, I mean, there's big problems with each of those two individuals, too.
Well, not just those two, though, but with any of them. Do you have anybody that you think the audience should be interested in?
Well, what I tell people when they ask about who I like politically, I stress over and over the same thing. The thing to look for is people who even are principled or even sincere. And there's very few who are really sincere. And I put in that way, I would say Pat Buchanan, Ralph Nader, and Ron Paul are sincere because they are consistent in their principles. They don't waffle around and change depending on which way the wind is blowing. But they're not running now, of course. There's nobody now. I don't see anybody in the race who really, to my mind anyway, seems really principled. I mean, you could cite different issues, but one of the most obvious ones is what their attitude is about the so-called special relationship with Israel. I mean,
right.
If you really care, if you're really a sincere liberal or a sincere conservative, this is crazy. I mean, a sincere conservative is supposed to be against what they call entangling alliances with foreign countries, and so on that basis, this crazy relationship with Israel should be rejected. If you're a sincere liberal, you should be rejecting it.
But Mark, I agree with you. There's certainly no difference in any of the candidates on either side of the aisle on that issue. We got to let you go. IHR.org. Mark Weber, everybody, a hero. Support his work. Mark, thank you, my friend.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, gang. I just want to apologize for to everyone. I did not know that Mark Weber was a racist. And if I had known what a racist Mark Weber was, we would have never had him on the show tonight. And new information has come to light. And here's what it is. And if I had known this in advance, we would have not conducted that interview. But, Mark Weber has a master's degree in history. And that should have tipped me off what a bad guy he is. Because master's degrees are racist. So says the University of Yale. Several students at Yale University have reportedly left campus due to the school's use of the word master, a racist term, according to Professor Stephen Davis there at Yale. Davis, whose current title is Master of Pearson College at Yale, officially called for a ban on the word on Friday. So what? I guess this was yesterday. I have found, this is what he says, I have found the title of the office I hold deeply problematic given the radical and gendered weight it carries. I think there should be no context in our society or in our university which an African-American student, professor, or staff member, or any person for that matter, should be asked to call anyone master. And should there be no context, there should be no context where male gender titles should be normalized as makers of authority. So master's degree are now racist, according to Yale University. And so there you have it. So if I'd have known that, Mark, we would have not. No, I'm just kidding. Mark's a great guy. I love Mark. He's a good friend of mine for many, many, many years. But this is where we're at in society now. Master's degrees are racist. I actually read, and we covered on this show back in, a while back, that master bedrooms are racist, too. Master bedrooms are racist. Yeah, so that, this is America. My wife told me about this. She read an article. She showed it to me. Mother and father are now offensive terms, too, because gender is now a social construct. So mother and father are, offensive terms. Boy, girl, same thing. There really exists no such thing as a boy or a girl or a mother or a father or even really a male and a female because, genders don't really exist. It's all about how you feel or how you self-identify. And that's why Target, we talked about this on the radio show last week. That's why Target is getting rid of its gender-based labeling because, it's a bad thing. Okay. Well, the Council of Conservative Citizens, I wanted to talk to y'all about that. So the Council of Conservative Citizens was set to have a board of directors meeting in Nashville at the same hotel that we've been meeting at for 5 years. We've had 10 meetings there in the last 5 years. 10 meetings there in the last 5 years. The hotel knows exactly who the Council of Conservative Citizens is. But it's no good anymore because the media picked up on the fact that the council was going to be there. And they started calling the hotel. They publicized the lie that the council was somehow connected to Dylann Roof. And guess what the social justice warriors did? The practitioners of tolerance and diversity. They started calling up the hotel, according to the reports that I've read from the people who are leading the council and booked the reservation. They started calling the hotel and threatening to violence against the hotel. And I know for a fact that this happens because it happened to me in 2008 when I was organizing a conference here in Memphis that had 500 people registered to attend. They said that they would kill the general manager of the hotel and kill his family. The general manager told me that himself and said he actually resigned the job. He left his job because of the threats of violence coming from the practitioners of tolerance and diversity. So I know that this happens, and this is what happened here. And so what, right? Because this is a group of conservative white people, and they don't have rights to meet in a hotel. They don't have the right to freedom of assembly. They don't have the right to have their legally binding contracts upheld. And these, come on, these people at the hotel, when the media called them, they said they didn't know who the council was. You know better than that. I know better than that. These people we've worked with for 5 years, had 10 meetings there. They said they've gotten complaints in them before. You know what they said to the people who complained in years past when we were there? That, you know, they've never caused any trouble here. They've been doing business with us for years. They're good people. I'm sorry. But when the media calls them and says that they're, you know, housing the group that inspired the terrorist attacks in Charleston, well, all of a sudden they don't know who we are. And it's funny because they got caught in the lie. They got caught in the lie. The Tennessean, the Nashville's newspaper, this got picked up by the Associated Press, by the way, but the Nashville newspaper calls the hotel and says, you know, we hear you're holding the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference. I mean, by God, you better not hold a meeting of conservative people. And I said, oh, no, we wouldn't do that, you know. They're not going to be meeting here. We don't have any meeting rooms here. We don't have any conference rooms. Well, we've met there 10 times in 5 years, and anybody that goes to the hotel knows that they have a nice conference room there. So that's lie number one. But the Tennessean apparently didn't know that, but they did. They were a little bit smart, smarter than the hotel people anyway. They called the hotel back about an hour later using a different name, different voice, and they said, yeah, I want to book a room under the Council of Conservative Citizens block. Oh, yes, sir, that'll be $81. So they caught them. So disgusting. The people at the hotel said, you know, they didn't know who we were, and they've never had a meeting here, and they would never host us, so on and so forth. Well, we've had 10 meetings there in 5 years, and, you know, we were good enough for their business before. But the media lies, and the media, you know, everybody knows the media lies. Even the Tennessean wrote this white supremacist hate group. Well, who says we're white supremacists? Who says we're a hate group? Is that arbitrary? Is there an official, you know, council, you know, is there an official group somewhere that puts forth these labels? These are pejorative terms. They're inaccurate. They're lies. But the media posts them. And nobody believes the media anyway, because, you know, I was reading the comments on this article that said white supremacist hate group has its, you know, conference canceled by Nashville Hotel. And I read the lies that the hotel said about us when they, you know, they know they're lying. I know they're lying. Well, 9 out of the 10 comments that I read were saying, hey, you know, what's going on? What happened to freedom of speech? You know, this is an America, right? These people should be allowed to meet. And other people said, hey, they're not white supremacists. You know, 9 out of 10 were in favor of us, as is always the case. That's why Donald Trump's doing so good. One of the reasons, a study came out earlier this year, and we talked about it on this show. 3 out of 4 people say they don't believe anything the media says. 3 out of 4, that's overwhelming. They don't believe anything the media says. You read the comments on any article, And they're going to go our way big time. Even in this article, where they did everything they could to lie about the council and scare people into believing that it was some sort of a evil group. 9 out of 10 comments were in favor of the council being able to meet, which they didn't. They ended up canceling it, and that's regrettable. You know, I would have worked around it if I'd been in charge. I am a member of the board of directors there, but it's not my organization like the political cesspool is. But you know, I respect, you know, that, and we'll regroup, and it won't happen again, and we won't have another conference canceled, that's for sure. There's ways around this, but 9 out of 10 comments were in favor of the council, and the one that wasn't was like, you know, get rich at home working for Google, you know, it's one of these ads that you see in the comments from time to time, but that's what, you know, goes on. Yeah, it's regrettable, but, you know, I guess it saved me a round trip to Nashville. I would have liked to have gone. I was looking forward to being there, as I always am. I take my family up there. It's a great group of people, young people. Old people, nice people, good people, Christian people, you know. But good work. They canceled a conference. They didn't stop anything. We'll be back, you know, and we'll be better, and we'll be stronger. And people really rally when they're under fire, and that's what's going to happen here. And so, you know, I look forward to that. I do want to say something very quick. You know, this has been such big news. Such big news. The CHAG. I mean, what in the world You know, why all of a sudden is the criminal activity of the Sea Hag such a big deal? Because, you know, you look at the criminal corruption of the Clintons throughout their careers. Why is it that she's getting all of this negative attention because of the emails? I mean, as far as the stuff that they've done, unconstitutional things, reprehensible things, her support of homosexual marriage and all of these abortion and all of these other things are far more scandalous, in my opinion, than anything to do with the emails. I don't know why all of a sudden they're hanging her out to dry over the email things. I mean, that's like getting Al Capone on tax evasion. I just don't get it, but not that I care. She's a reprehensible person. She's evil. She's wicked. And she deserves to go down, but why go down over this? Of all the things, of all the years of that they could have gone after her for, whatever. But it looks like the Sea Hag has got a tough road to hoe. When we come back, last segment of the night, we're going to talk to you about my trip to the zoo. I took my family to the zoo a couple of days ago and put pictures of it on the website. I'm going to talk to you about that at the when we come back, and pictures at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
So much to talk about, not enough time. There never is. One of our loyal listeners in Canada I love this guy. I mean, nobody gives more often than him. And even if he didn't give a dollar, it's that he's just a great guy. And he was down here for our 10-year anniversary celebration, and he's just, I would say, all-American. He's all-Canadian, I guess, but he's all-man, and that's what's important. Well, he sent me the story. You know, Michael Sam, Mr. Wonderful, as we call him, he was a celebrity because he was a homosexual who got drafted by an NFL team. Never really played in the NFL. He got cut. But he was made famous for making out with his boyfriend when he got drafted. Like, he was like the last pick of the draft a couple of years ago. Black guy making out with his little white, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, girly man. Yeah, but he couldn't hack it in the NFL. Big publicity stunt. Well, he got picked up by a Canadian Football League team. And, well, he washed out. And when he washed out, they said it was because of mental illnesses. Well, who would have guessed a homosexual might have mental illnesses? As we so often say on the political cesspool, we point out the fact that up until the late 1970s, the American Psychiatric Association officially listed homosexuality as a mental disease. It still is, of course, as we always say, just no longer an officially listed one. Political correctness took care of that. But nevertheless, that is the official reason the team in Canada that picked up Michael Sam said that he, you know, couldn't stick with the team because yeah, he left the team for issues pertaining to mental illnesses. Well, who would have guessed? Hey, Bobby Jindal. Now, say what you will. Bobby Jindal, governor of New Orleans. If a white man won't stand up for the Confederate flag, maybe an Indian one will. And Bobby Jindal did. And so he's got my respect and support and salute. You know, they're trying to take down Confederate monuments there in New Orleans, and he's actually fighting it. So he has the guts to do what no white governor will. So God bless you, Bobby Jindal. And I saw also this week where John Reese Davis, you might know him as Sala in the Indiana Jones series. He was in the Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Last Crusade. He was also Gimli in The Lord of the Rings. Well, he has come out in strong favor of Western civilization. He said even if it ruins his career, there's something about Christianity in the West that is worth saving. God forbid you know, a celebrity say something like that. But he did, and he didn't back down. And so we salute John Reese Davies, a.k.a. Gimli, a.k.a. Sala, for that. And he's a fine actor, and I do respect that a great deal. Well, if you go to our website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org, of course, and by the way, we've broken our record for web traffic three times in the last month. Three times we've broken our record in the last month. The Political Cesspool has never been more popular, and we thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for making that possible. And one of the reasons is because we've certainly fostered a familial-like bond with our audience, and it's very palpable. But I posted some pictures of a recent trip that I took to the zoo with my family a few days ago. And if you've ever wanted to see exactly how long a giraffe's tongue is, I can take care of that for you, because I went up with my kids and we fed the giraffes at the Memphis Zoo. Memphis has a lot of problems. Memphis isn't a very good city anymore, but it does have a world-class zoo. And there at the zoo, you can feed these giraffes, you know, lettuce and things, and you get right up on them. You're right in their face. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And I got the pictures. I got the action shots. So go check it out. But I was asked by an interviewer. It was Don Wassel, actually. Don comes on after Ken, who's after us, and then after Ken is Don. Great radio all night long on Saturday night. Well, really, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week on the Liberty News Radio Network. But on Saturday nights specifically, you got TPC, you got Ken, you got Don. And Don asked me in a recent guest appearance, I was on his show, he asked me how much time I spend each week tending to the business of the political cesspool. And the fact of the matter is, and I told Don, I'll tell you now, it's a full-time labor of love. It's a full-time job. The 3 hours I spend on the air every Saturday night is the least of amount of time invested in the work each week. Once you factor in the daily blogging, you know, two news articles a day, every day, fulfilling orders, fundraising, and God help us, we've got the third quarter fundraising drive kicking off on September 1st, and we need your help, and that's just such a the 4 months out of the year that we have to tend to fundraising is just hell. It's time-consuming. It's hard. It's unpleasant. And we got to have it to stay on the air, and that's coming up. But fundraising, granting interviews to other outlets, weekly staff meeting, show prep, travel to speaking engagements, reading and answering fan mail. I got 630 emails that I haven't, you know, had time to respond to yet, you know, in my inbox right now. And research, you know, it becomes a heavy load. And I've said it on this show, it's not unusual for me to spend about 4 to 6 hours a night asleep. Yeah, I don't sleep. And I still feel as though I'm never caught up or not even close to that. Now, keeping that kind of routine, 4 to 6 hours of sleep each day, you keep that for a few weeks, that would break lesser men. You know, try doing it for almost 11 years without pause, and then you become James Edwards. And granted, I do have a very loyal and dedicated team of volunteers who help me mightily. But at the end of the day, I'm a perfectionist. I'm obsessive compulsive. I'm an aggressive, dominant, confident guy. I micromanage. I can't delegate. It's a weakness. I should, maybe I don't. I have a hand in everything that goes on, from the production of the on-air content of this show all the way down to how the stamps and address labels are put on the envelopes. My wife's very smart. She's also very beautiful. You know, she was a model for Pontiac, for Budweiser, you know, a lot of beauty and brains. I look over her shoulder when she's putting the stamps on. That's how much I obsess about, you know, perfection. And she does it perfectly, but I can't help myself. So how do I find balance with all of this going on? Well, you know, as I wrote on the website, the support that pours in from the extended family of listeners across the country and around the world always keeps the wind in my sails. That's for sure. I'm very thankful to be able to host a radio show that means so much to so many good people. And it's important. The caliber of our audience is important to me, and we have a great audience. And it's an honor to do something productive with the tools that God has given me and watch as we've all grown together through the many triumphs and difficulties of the past decade. But at the end of the day, to have a loving wife, to have two wonderful children, I got a 5-year-old girl, a 9-month-old boy, supportive relatives, great friends, an unshakable faith. You know, that's what keeps me grounded and sane. And I have been blessed beyond measure. You know, we're not, you know, rich, but you know, I've been blessed in many, many ways, many more ways than I could have ever dreamed. And a day never passes that doesn't find me grateful for that. I lead a happy life. I think it's a productive life to be able to do this show and to have the show become so well known. You know, this show has moxie to it. You know, this show has celebrity. This show has weight. It's a program of record for our people. And I'm proud of that. And you made that possible. And that being said, folks, I always enjoy sharing with you a few personal moments from time to time. And so, as I said, we took a little trip to the Memphis Zoo earlier this week, and being the proud dad that I am, I couldn't help but post a couple of pictures. So from my family to yours, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and know how much you're appreciated and respected. We got some pictures there feeding the giraffes with the kids, if you're into that kind of thing. And we've got pictures tending to God's smaller creatures as well, feeding little birds on a stick. They got this exhibit you can go in, and the birds like come down on your little feeder, and it's pretty cool looking at the responses of my son and daughter, you know, taking in the glory of creation. It was a nice day. We're members at the zoo, and we go a lot, but this was a great trip, so we put some pictures up. That being said, you know, just in minutes remaining, another article that was at our website this week that I would encourage you to take a look at. It's entitled "Russian Beauty Chooses Beliefs Over Title." So you got this beautiful young Russian girl. Her name is Olga Kuskova. She was stripped of her title when it was discovered that she had politically incorrect beliefs. She believes, I know this is a horror, but she believes that Russia belongs to Russians and not to Africans. And so the social justice warriors, the same people who call and threaten to kill members of the hotel staff that would have, you know, people like us, you know, afford us the right to rent a room. You know, you talk about civil rights. Wasn't that what it was all about, to have the freedom to rent a room, to have a meeting, to have a rally? Well, white people don't have that anymore. Let me just tell you that. And if you think you do, try to have one and be politically incorrect at all. You'll find out you don't have that right anymore. But these same type of people, they exist in Europe too. So they demanded that she recant her beliefs that Russia should be for Russians. And she said, you know what she said? She said, I will not deny my views. I will not deny my beliefs. So take your, I can't say the word she used, but take your expletive title back. Now that's my kind of woman right there. She gave up the beauty title because she would not recant her beliefs. And well, that's just a great story. And so you got this group of white men over in Russia. We got pictures of them on the website. We got pictures of her posing in this contest that she won. And we got pictures after she got, you know, her title stripped from her for being, quote unquote, politically incorrect. We got pictures of all these guys, these masculine, good-looking young men, and they've all got roses in their hands, and they surprised her at the place where she worked. And they went up there completely spontaneous, completely, you know, unplanned, and they go to her place of business, all of these men, and they shower her with roses. That's her, you know, these were true white knights, if you will. And they take her roses, and, you know, that is a big deal. We need to encourage solidity. We need to encourage solidarity. We need to encourage bravery within our people. This woman has more balls than most of the men in America, I'll tell you that. And thank God for the men out there who supported her. She needed it, and that will embolden her, and it emboldens me. God bless you, everybody. We're done this week. I'll see you next Saturday.